is sort of a favorite of our son Josh that's not with us. It's one of his favorites. Often we'd sing this song together. And so when we were considering what song to sing together as a family, this is sort of a natural. So I know Josh would enjoy being with us today, as well as Brandon and Jen as well. Of family is singing together. We really enjoy singing together. We do it a good bit, and we miss Brandon and Josh and all that, and sometimes some of them are, hey, we don't have anyone to sing. And I have to remind them that back in the earlier days, it was just Martha and I that would sit together and sing, and so there's still plenty to sing, even though, you know, it seems like everyone finds their spot where they excel in singing together as a family. We enjoy that a lot. Could we kneel together to pray before we begin? Our great God, Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing we've had to sit together and sing, to lift up our voices and worship and praise God Almighty. We thank you that you're here. We thank you, Lord, for the great salvation you've brought to all of us and how you've changed our lives and how you've brought new life and faith and you've washed our sins away. And we have the Word of God in front of us. We can open it and we can see. It's a mirror, we can see ourselves. It's a direction, it's a light for our path. We thank you, God, for this privilege to be together, to sharpen one another, to be taught in the Word. This morning, we do ask again in Jesus' name that your Word would be lifted up, you would be lifted up. I ask, God, that you would give me clear thoughts and anointing, the ability to share. And I ask, God, that what's shared, your Spirit would take these things way beyond the things I share. And God, you know where everyone is, and we ask that these things could become a part of all of our lives. Thank you for the privilege to be together here. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Title this morning is My Son, Give Me Thine Heart. I'd like to especially extend a welcome to the home folks. There's a couple of families here this morning from at home. Thank you for coming. It's greatly appreciated. It shows your support coming out and joining us here today. Appreciate that. This weekend, I know that in speaking on some of the subjects we have here, we've been sort of exposing ourselves a bit as a family. And I'd like to just share that with all that, there's a lot of things that the Lord has helped us with and is helping us with. But we have a long ways to grow yet. The Lord is continuing His work in our heart in a deeper way, ways that only He can do. And I trust His continued work. I desire that in my heart and in the lives of our family as well. So do pray for us. I know I'm lifting a bit of a high standard on some of these things. I know that. Some time ago, I preached on the subject in another church, and throughout the week, various ones would come to our children, and they'd say, "Is that really how it is in your home?" He'd ask the question, you know, do you have that kind of relationship with your mom and dad? Is that really how it is? You're allowed to do that. I'll give you a freedom. You could ask all kinds of questions, and you'll find our flat spots if you ask enough. You're allowed to do that because we've got some. I'd like to make a little clarification. Yesterday afternoon when we were had some discussion on the specific of how to discern when our children come up to the age of accountability, how to sort through some of that, The one thing I wanted to just express a little bit further is on the side of sometimes we have these fears that, especially moms and as well as dads, that, well, where are the children? At what point do they become lost? Are they safe? And I didn't take time to look up the scripture, but the Bible says that unless we become like little children, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so it's very clear that in God's sight, children are a part of the kingdom. And so when children come up into that area, prior to coming to the age of accountability, they're definitely safe, without a question. If they die, they go to be with God. Secondly, I'd like to also express that in those, if they come to the age where their accountability opens up and they realize their lost condition, it's at that point, if they start resisting God, it's at that point that safe protection goes away. When that accountability has come to where there is a real lostness there and they're pushing God away. As long as they keep their hearts open to God, and even if there's a bit of a journey, you know, to sort through, you know, exactly when that, you know, when they're ready for conversion, you know, they're safe. As long as they're not pushing God away. But when children or youth in that age start pushing God away, that's when they're no longer safe and ready to meet God. Just a little clarification with that. And if you have more questions on anything, on any of the sermons or any of the teachings that I'm giving here, feel free to ask. I guess one of the things that's really on my heart is that you get the heart of what I'm trying to say. I'm not so concerned about all the details, and yeah, there's various ways that, you know, that we do it, and maybe it's a bit different in your home, but if you can try to get the heart of what we're trying to communicate. You know, the details can all vary. You know, there's a lot of details in some of those things that can vary from home to home, but there are principles in the heart that I'm trying to communicate with us here. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs for an opening scripture. Proverbs chapter 23. This is where the title of the message comes. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now let me read that again. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. I don't know if you've heard how much you're familiar with this little term that it's used here, but I'd like to sort of take that idea and sort of open it up for us to understand it a bit. When we talk about our children observing our ways and giving their hearts to their parents, I've had many, many parents over the years have come to me and they say these words. They say, our children, at a young age, they grew up and they respected mom and dad. They opened their hearts to us and they were open for instruction. They were open for guidance. And then somehow they, whether it happened in school or with some friends or wherever it might have been, all of a sudden the heart of that child moves away from mom and dad and onto their peers. And all of a sudden, what their peers are telling them becomes an authority in their life, and they start closing their heart to input and instruction and direction from their parents. Their hearts start closing. Thus, here it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Let thine eyes, children, let your eyes observe the ways of your mom and dad and follow their ways. I believe that's what he's trying to say. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. It is the will of God for children to have their hearts turned toward their parents. It's very clear in Scripture. Very, very clear. It's God's will for you children here today, for you youth. It's not just young children. We're talking about from a young age all the way up through. It's God's will that children and youth in the home have their heart opened up to their parents for guidance, for direction, and that they would follow their parents. That's God's heart. That's God's will. Very clear in Scripture. Now, the beautiful thing is that God has put it into the heart of children to just desire that with their parents. That's a beautiful thing. If we would go through these benches here and ask everyone all the way up to 20, 21, 22, and we'd ask them, would you like to have the approval and would you like to be close to your mom and dad? Pretty much all of them would say yes. Now, the problem is, if we'd ask the next question and say, how many of you feel like you are close and that your heart is right there with mom and dad? There'd be a difference. Right? There'd be a difference there. There's a desire there. God has put into the heart of children a desire to honor and respect and to have their approval. It's there. But sometimes when there's other influences and things in the home aren't where they ought to be, the hearts move away from mom and dad and they move onto their peers. And we like to talk about some of the reasons that some of those things happen. We'd like to just discuss that a bit this morning. Why some of those things happen. That the hearts of our children shift away from their parents, away from the blessing of mom and dad, and walk in willful disobedience to mom and dad because they have peers, because they have others, and they'd rather follow others rather than their parents. You know how it is? And I would say this way, one of the ways that you can sort of test that a bit or see where your children's hearts are, one of the ways that you can see some of that is you can see where they first go to with their first big news and their excitement and where they go to really open their hearts. Okay? Something happens, and guess where they go? They go to the people they feel closest to. Right? Something happens to themselves where they feel hurt, where they feel something's going on in their heart, and they will go to the people that they feel closest to, where they feel safe to open up. If they've been hurt, something's happened, they'll go to the people who they know won't give them a thrashing, but they'll listen. Sometimes it's their peers. Sometimes it's mom and dad. I like to suggest that it's God's will that those hearts turn to mom and dad. And I'd like for us to just consider, you youth in here this morning, I like for us to consider, and you know, I'm going to be primarily talking to the moms and dads this morning. And you youth can sit here and say, mom and dad, they haven't done it right. You know, mom and dad, you know, they do all, you know, all these things that they're, you know, that he's preaching, they're not doing those things. I'd like to just share with you youth, it's a two-way street. And it's God's desire that the hearts of the youth, the hearts of the children, come to mom and dad. And you come to a place, youth, where you can open your heart to your mom and dad and share with them the deepest struggles in your heart. That's God's will. And I know that for some of you, maybe there are things that have happened that make you mistrust mom and dad. Maybe there are things that have happened that you say, I can't ever open my heart to my dad again because of what he did back 10 years ago and that lashing that I got with his mouth, how he just crushed me. And I went back into my bedroom and I cried and I made a decision, I'm never going to open my heart to my dad again, ever. You know, sometimes we do those things as dads. Sometimes we do things that crush our children. And if we've done those things, we need to hear from our children those things that we have done. And we need to be able to come and open our hearts to them and apologize and confess and try to learn and to open our hearts to them that they can again open their hearts to us with a calm assurance that mom and dad won't rake me over the coals. It's safe. Even if they have a difference of opinion, it's safe to come and share and open their hearts with mom and dad. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Here's some guiding principles I'd like to talk about in getting your children's hearts. I've heard this many times, and I know that maybe most of the people here today may be homeschooled. There's maybe some that send their children to school. But I've heard this expression many times from mothers. They say, oh, I'm just so glad that school is on again and the children are off to school and it's just so quiet at home. I'm just so glad they're gone again. Let me tell you something, moms. There's something wrong in your heart if you have that type of an attitude toward your children. There ought to be something in your heart that longs after your children and wants them close to you. Because if you have that type of an attitude, your child will feel it and they will feel pushed away from you. And they don't want to open their hearts. They will feel rejected. They're just glad if I'm out of mom's way and she can go do her work. Those types of attitudes are hindrances to coming together, to the hearts coming together between parents and children. We need to love children the way Jesus did. You know, what I just described to you is the exact attitude that the disciples had when the mothers were bringing their children to Jesus for Jesus to bless them. You know, the mothers were bringing their children and they wanted Jesus to come and bless them. And as the disciples looked on, you know, they looked at that and they were like, well, Jesus has a lot more important things to do than putting his hands on little children. Because little children, they're a bother. You know, just get them away from here. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 14. It says, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased.
and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. That's the attitude that Jesus has toward children. And it's very different than the attitude that the disciples had, that children are a bother. They're just a bother. I have much more important things to do than to spend my time with little children or with our children. There's a big difference. My son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. I'd like to this morning relate to you what I'm going to describe as one of the greatest or one of the most tragic stories between a father and a son recorded in the Bible. It's a very tragic story. And the story that I'm going to relate to you, there are some things in this story. It's very clear. The Bible calls King David a man after my own heart. And the Bible calls Absalom a rebel. Big difference, right? The Bible calls David a man after my own heart, and he calls Absalom a rebel. And in the middle of this whole story that I'm going to relate to you, there's some things that Absalom did in his rebellion and in his wickedness that are a bit interesting, that I think as we look at these things, we can maybe draw some things out of here, some of the things that he did to win the hearts of the children of Israel away from his father, King David. It was a very wicked thing to do what he did. But he did that. Absalom was a rebel, and David was a man after God's own heart. Amnon had a sister, a half-sister called Tamar. And Amnon, out of the lust and the wickedness of his heart, he went and he feigned himself to be sick. And he brought Tamar into the room. And you know the story, the things that happened there. He violated his half-sister Tamar. He violated her. She pled with him not to do it, but he did it anyhow. But the Bible says that after they left, she went out and she cried. And Tamar's full brother Absalom, he, of course, was very protective of his sister. And he was very angry in his heart for what his brother, half-brother Absalom had done to his sister. He was very protective and he was very, very angry of what his half-brother had done to his sister. He was very upset. But the Bible says that he pretended that things were fine, and for 2 years, he was just quiet about it. He didn't say much, but for 2 years he was just quiet about it. And then Absalom went to his father, King David, and he asked for permission for all the king's sons to go over to Hebron to worship. And of course he had other things in his plans. And so the king gave permission and they all went over to Hebron to worship. And Absalom had commanded his servants, and he had told them that when you come to Hebron, you watch. And when I give you command, you go and you smite Amnon for what he did to my half-sister. You kill him. Don't hesitate. Just do it. Obey me. And they did. And Amnon was killed for the sins that he committed. And in the meanwhile, King David heard that Absalom had killed all the king's sons. And of course, his people there, they were trying to figure out what was going on. And a while later, he found out that Absalom, by the appointment, had made a specific decision to kill his brother Amnon, and the rest of his sons were safe. And David, in his own heart, he had been grieved at what happened with Amnon and Tamar. Yeah, the Bible says he was very grieved, but he didn't do anything about it. He was very grieved. So Absalom, he comes back. And rather than there being further discussion about all that, Absalom knew that his father would be angry with what he did to his brother. So he ran away. Absalom fled the country. In fact, Absalom ran to his grandfather over in Geshur. He ran over to Geshur to his grandfather. And for 3 years, Absalom was gone. He was over in Geshur with his grandfather. For 3 years, he was over there, because he knew that his father was displeased with what he had done. And the Bible says that while Absalom was over there, the heart of Absalom longed after his father. Isn't that normal, right? There's something about children. There's something about youth. Every one of you here, youth, I know it's there. There's something within you that wants that honor and respect, the relationship with your dad. It's there. God put it in there. And at the same time, David was in the palace, and the Bible says that his heart longed after his son Absalom over in Geshur. His heart longed after him, and for 3 years they were separated there. For 3 years. So this is 5 years after this thing happened, and this thing was still unresolved. Here they were, David in Jerusalem in the palace, and his heart longing after his son. Isn't this a description of many dads today? Even within our homes, the father's heart longing after his son, and the heart of the children longing after their dad, but there being a big wall in between. That's a picture of many homes today. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Joab was a wise man. Joab, as he was observing David the king, as he was observing him, he saw that David's heart was turned toward Absalom. He saw that. He saw that his heart was longed after Absalom, but David wasn't making any moves to bring him back home. He wasn't making any moves to bring him back home. And so Joab devised a plan. Joab went and he fetched a wise woman. And he put words into her mouth. And you know the story. Joab, as he put the words into her mouth, she came up to David, and she had this story about her son, how he was exiled, and all of these things. And in the end, David gave clear command that son should return home and all of these things. And only then, all of a sudden, David realized that this woman was talking about Absalom. And then King David looked at Joab and he said, "You're the one that put these words into this woman's mouth." Joab said, "Yes." And so at that point, King David gave permission to bring Absalom back home. Now, what kind of an expectation would you have as a dad or as a son for Absalom and David when Absalom's been gone for 3 years, they haven't seen each other. He had done what he did. He was gone. Both of their hearts longed toward each other. And so David gives permission. David gives permission to bring Absalom back. And so Absalom comes back. And King David says, let him turn over to his own house. And so Absalom went to his house. And at this point, there are 3 years that passed. Absalom was back in Jerusalem, and another 2 years passed, and David and Absalom never came together. These issues weren't resolved. You know, Absalom had sinned against his father. He had sinned against the family, and his issues were unresolved. And there's this big gap between father and son. And the Bible says that those next 2 years when Absalom was in Jerusalem, that Absalom again longed to see his father. Isn't that natural? You know, that's how it is. Even in this room here this morning, there's some of you in here that long to just have that good open heart discussion with your dad that you don't have with your dad and your mom. You long for that, but it's not there. Instead, what you do is it's more safe to go share those things with my friends. There's other people that you share these things with. But it's God's design. It's very clear. It's God's design that the hearts between parents and their children are opened to the place where those things come together and hearts share, and there's nothing in between. But here he is for another 2 years, Absalom in Jerusalem, desiring to see his father. And finally he came to the place that he sent a messenger over to Absalom and said, Absalom, I want to meet with you. Now come over to my house. I want to meet with you. And Absalom just ignored him. Oh, I'm sorry. Joab. Absalom sent a message to Joab, and Joab ignored Absalom. Time went on, and finally, Absalom was getting more desperate. And so Absalom, he went, and he sent his servants over to Joab's barley fields, and he set Joab's barley fields on fire. Isn't it something, the extent of things that build up in the heart, and the desire to see your father? And when Joab's barley fields were burning, Joab said, come on over. Come on over, Absalom. So Absalom and Joab, they come together. And Absalom tells Joab these words. He tells him, I want you to take me to my father. And if my father slay me, let him slay me, but I want to see my father. You see the desire, the longing, the desire to see your dad. But in all this, let's not forget, Absalom is a rebel. David is a man after God's own heart. A man that has his heart turned toward God, but he's making some mistakes here. But Absalom is at a different place, but he longs after his father. So Joab, in response to that request, in response to the request that you take me to my father, and if he slays me, if I've done wickedly, let him kill me. He takes him to his father. And so, excuse me, he comes to his father, King David. He comes in there, and his father comes. And he lays his hands on his son, and he kisses him, and he gives him a welcome. That's a blessing. But the very next chapter, right on the heels of this, the very next chapter, there is something that has happened in Absalom's heart. Now, the Bible says that Absalom took himself 50 horses And it says that he went to the gates of Jerusalem and he stood there by the gate. And every day, all the people from across the land of Israel, all the people from all across the land of Israel, they come and they walk into Jerusalem right by Absalom. And the Bible says he was a goodly man, well favored. And so every man, as they walked into Jerusalem to see King David, guess what Absalom did? He stood there and he listened to them. Now all of a sudden, there's something going on. He's listening to the people of Israel. He's telling them. He listens to them. He tells them, oh, if there's only a ruler in the land that will listen to all your problems. Well, they're already gone to the king. But he's putting himself up in place of his father. He listens to the people. There's various things that I want to read here that he did. But as he did these things, now the Bible says that for 40 years, he stood in the gate day after day after day. And at the end of 40 years, he rebelled against his father and he endeavored to take the kingdom. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. This is one of the most tragic stories in the history of a father and a son. Second Samuel chapter 15, it says, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom, this is right after Absalom had met King David, the next chapter, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matter are good and right, but there is no man debuted of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And you know the rest of the story. 40 years later, he did this for 40 years. Day after day. And after 40 years, he took over the kingdom. And in the end, he himself was killed. But I'd like for us to consider some of the things that Absalom did here when the people would come. Now, dads, and by the way, youth, you're sitting here saying, my dad doesn't do this, my dad doesn't do this. I'd like to ask you a question. Are you doing what you should? Okay. Now, you just think about that a little bit. Okay. Dads, this is what Absalom did. He went every day and he listened. He talked to them. He assured them of the things that were going on. He showed appreciation. He listened to their problems. And by the way, friends, your children's friends are good at doing this, right? You know, your children's friends, you know, they do this all day long. And that's why the hearts move away. Because he was there, and he was listening to them. He was assuring them. He was, he actually would kneel down and he'd touch them. There's a closeness coming. He was just, He was trying to get their hearts. He was drawing them. He was expressing confidence. And, you know, there wasn't this harsh, angry, all this stuff that makes children's hearts go away. It wasn't there. Okay? And he did these things and he stole the hearts of the children of Israel away from King David. I have to quickly move on here. I'd like to just put out some steps to gaining the heart of your child or your youth. And I like to say that these steps, these things that I'd like to put out here, these are things that can be done to a young child, can be done to a youth. These are some principles and things that we need to step forward with as parents to draw close. And I like to suggest that it's not just a winning of their hearts. It's a winning of their hearts, but there's also, some things that we need to specifically be pursuing and curb them and bring them in so that our hearts draw together purposefully. It's not just this lovey-dovey thing that I'm trying to promote. If you could hear my heart with some of this. One of the things that Absalom did is he purposefully stood at the gate. Okay? Dads, I like to suggest that if we are going to draw close to our children and our youth, we have a responsibility to make very specific moves to draw close to them. We have a responsibility to make moves on our part to draw close to them. Many times, us as dads, you know, we're way too busy, right? We have work. We have to make a living. We come home and there's all kinds of things that need done around the house. You know, there's all kinds of errands and preachers. You know, we've got all these holy good things to do. We've got all these other things to do and, you know, it's good stuff. And dads, I'd like to suggest that somehow many dads are not doing their responsibility at standing at the gate and talking to their children and drawing nigh to their children. There's many that are not doing that. There's many. We need to take specific, purposeful effort in drawing nigh to our children, drawing nigh to our youth. Here's another one. Ask questions and hear their heart. Ask questions and hear their heart. I'm not sure how to do this or how to communicate this. But fathers, am I right? We sometimes are a little bit on the harsh side. Our wives are a little bit more soft and tender and I'm not here to suggest that at all that we don't be firm. In fact, many, many fathers have lost their way because they weren't firm enough. I'm talking about being firm and yet being tender, being able, you know, maybe I should say it this way. Here recently, there's a dad, we were discussing this. And this is what he told me. He said, I had a daughter. He said, I had a daughter who we had a close relationship, and all of a sudden it seemed like her heart was sort of moving away from me. I sensed it. And it seemed like her face wasn't as clear between her and I as it used to be. And he said, I looked at that and I came to her and I asked, is there something wrong between you and I? And she said, no. said, there's nothing there. And yet, what he sensed happening was her heart, rather than coming to mom and dad and opening up and respecting and honoring and just having them as her, what I'm going to call her heroes, her people that she looks to for guidance, she had moved her heart over here to where she was giving her heart to some of her friends. She was giving her heart to some of her friends. Not bad friends, but there was a loyalty shift. You know what I'm talking about? There's a loyalty shift. That's what I'm talking about. Having their heart. You know, where there's a loyalty between our children and us. And he said these words. He said, we talked about it a couple times and things didn't really change. And he said, finally, I made some steps. I went to my daughter and I said, you know, I really desired to have what you're giving to other people. It's God's will. God wants you to open your heart to me. And I know, you know, you're somehow doing it over here. And I'd like to open myself up to you. If I'm doing things that is making you draw back, I'd like to hear that. Could you please share that with me? Would you please come and share those concerns that you have? Because if I'm doing things wrong, I'd like to open myself because I want to change my ways. But there's an effort of going after her heart and an asking her to bring it in. After some time, not a whole lot of change had happened. So, finally I said, I'm going to be asking you, any time that we go away, I want you to be right beside me. When we go to church, and this is a daughter, I'm not sure how old she was, maybe 14 years of age, maybe 15. And he said, I'm going to ask you that at this point, until you give your heart to me and you surrender everything to me, I'm going to ask that you just stay with me. If we go to the grocery store, you go with me. If we go to church, you go with me. If we go places, other places to visit other people, you stay with me. And after doing that for a very short period of time, this daughter just simply surrendered her heart and opened her heart to Dad. And sometimes there are things Dad has done. Sometimes it's just simply busyness and neglect. But dads, we need to stand at the door and be vigilant and be one of those, I'm just going to say, I've talked to many sons who have told me this. They said, Mark, what you're telling me to do, I know it's right. I know I should go and open my heart to Dad. But if I go and open my heart to Dad, I know what he's going to do. He's just going to run right over me. He's going to feel me. He's going to make me feel like a heel. Okay. Dads, are you listening? Okay. How do we get on the other side? How do we get on the other side of that? Dads, we need to open our hearts to our youth and our children to where they have an opportunity and a freedom to share with us in the areas that we have wronged them. There are things that we do at time and we have no idea how we made them feel, but they go into their bedroom and they put their head under the pillow and they cry and they cry and they cry because of things. Yesterday I spoke, last night, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, if you see some of these things are lacking, I would just beseech you and I ask you that you make some steps toward your sons, toward your daughters. And you come, and if there are things that you're afraid that Dad will do if you open your heart, just be honest and share. And Dad, can I instruct you to just try to listen? And if there are things that you have done, be open about that. Make apologies. Try to clear that. Try to clear your heart. And try to take steps so those things don't happen again. They need to be able to, even if they've opened their heart once, they're going to be scared, when will it happen in the future? You know, how do we move forward? There needs to be an ability for the son to share again when it happens again. Okay? And so there needs to be a clear understanding between parents and youth that there's a need to be open and honest on continually. And dads, I'm going to put it into your laps to ask them the question, is there things that I am doing that are offensive, that are hurtful, that are keeping you from opening your heart to me? I'm asking you to come to me and open your heart, but is there things I'm doing that is hindering that from happening? Be firm. Be firm. I'm not talking about some wishy-washy, if it happens, it happens. But fathers, we need to pursue this. And youth, we need to open our hearts and move toward each other. Ask questions. Do the things. Consider, dads, consider what their friends are doing that's making them open to them. You know, their friends are doing things and somehow they've opened their hearts to their friends when they haven't to their mom and dad. There's reasons for that. Try to find out what those things are. Show your appreciation for them. Show your appreciation to your children. Express to them how glad you are that they're your children. How glad you are that they're your youth. And if there are things that they're doing wrong, you need to instruct them in a kind, gentle, firm way to be directing them. You need to bring direction to them, clear direction, but those things need to be done in a firm but gentle way. Fathers, it's right for us to come to our sons and our daughters and put our arm around them, to give them a hug and give them a little kiss. And young men say, don't let my dad kiss me. If you haven't been experiencing that between parents and youth, I'm talking about holiness here. I'm not talking about sensual, fleshly type of stuff, okay? But in a family, parents doing these things with their youth is very important, and with their children, very, very important. Even Absalom in his rebellion, all those things, those were some of the things he did that won and stole the hearts of the way from his father, King David. Those are right things. And young men, if you feel like this toward your dad, I'd like to just tell you that then it's good for you to just realize that maybe you're not where you should be, and you ought to be opening your heart in those ways to your dad and to your mom. Steps to move forward in drawing together. It has to be deliberate. If we just let some of these things happen, these other friends will guide our youth, and they will go and they'll be swept away with the currents. You know, dads, you know all the currents, all the slippery currents that are about us today. There's many children that grow up in Christian parents, but they don't guide their youth in a clear way, and they get swept away. Here's some of the things that negatively affect some of these situations, or the ability to be cohesive. Friendship boundaries. Sometimes, I like to suggest that there are times that our children's friendships with other children are too close. And because they're too close with other children, they're not as cohesive with mom and dad. And if dad wants to steer them away different than what all their friends are doing, he's helpless. He can't lead them away from the youth or where their friends are. He can't lead them in a different direction. I like to say there's something wrong with that. A father ought to have the responsibility and the authority in his home to lead his children, even if it's different than all his friends, even if it's different than all their friends. A father ought to have the authority in his home to be able to do that. And if youth, if your hearts are with other youth in such a way that you don't lead your, or you don't allow your dad to lead you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Your heart is not with your father. And you need to give your heart to your father. Here's another thing that negatively affects some of these things. Is bad friends. I have a niece. And she was a bit of a strong-willed child growing up. She came up to the age of 13, 14, and her father handed her a cell phone because she needed one. You know, she needed a cell phone. And these things weren't watched over very closely. And all of a sudden, parents discover that secretly she had been connecting with boys. Secretly, she had been connecting with influences that were not good, that were out there. And not even within the church. She had been connecting with boys and girls outside the church. And this had been going on. And the level of loyalty had risen to the place where she started doing other things. Watching listening to country music and various things. And all of a sudden, there are things happening. And mom and dad said, "What's going on?" And it was too late. At 15 years of age, her heart was swept away. Today, she's no longer living at home. She's living a very wicked and ungodly life. And I believe it's because they hadn't gotten her heart when she was young. They hadn't brought her under subjection. Then they had allowed influences to come and some of these abilities to connect with others, and somehow it just swept her away. Today, she's left home and she's living a very wicked and ungodly life. She's my niece. Bad music will turn children's hearts away from mom and dad very, very quickly. An angry parent will very, very quickly turn children's hearts away from mom and dad. And mom or dad might say, "Oh, I don't get angry. But you ask his children and they say, "Oh yeah, dad gets angry." Dad just says, "Oh, I just get frustrated. I don't get angry, I just get frustrated." Dads, I think it'd be good if you'd ask your children if you get angry. I think that's a good way to find out. Right? I think it's good for us to hear some of those things. If our children feel like we get angry as a dad, dads, we need to open our heart to that. We need to change our ways. Here's another thing that militates against this coming together is when dad or mom just has a very critical attitude. And if it's a critical attitude, there's a difference between being a critical thinker or having a critical attitude. I'm talking about a critical attitude where there's constantly just criticism at the children, criticism, and finally it's a frustration to the children. And dad might have some right concerns, and I'd like to just tell us, dads, we need to give clear direction, and we need to sometimes give some direction when it feels like it's critical, and there's a right way to do that. And
and I want to be careful how I say that, because I don't want to throw this thing away that we don't say negative things. That's not what I'm trying to convey. But there are dads that just have, they're critical at the children, that the children finally feel like, I can't do anything right. That's what I'm talking about. Being a hypocrite. Dads and moms, here's another one, being a hypocrite. And there's many ways that we can be a hypocrite. But let me give you one example. I've been in the conversation with a brother. And in this conversation, we were having a nice flowing conversation. And his son walks up to him and asks him a question in a nice way. And when his son asked him a question, his whole attitude and demeanor changed to a critical, accusing spirit. You can just feel it. There's something wrong. Dads, are we hypocrites? You know, we do things to others, we do things in a nice way, and in our home we do things and we hide things and just, we're hypocrites. Dads, let's be open. I would like to maybe close this morning with a plea. Youth that are here this morning, according to these scriptures that we've looked at, according to these scriptures, it's God's will that you come to the place where you can somehow open your heart to your mom and dad and follow their direction. To where you can, even if you don't agree, you come to the place where you open your heart and you try to understand and you give them respect. And you try to open your heart and you give your heart to your father and to your mother. Youth, can you do that? That's a hard question, right, youth? Boys, girls, young people, can you do that? It's God's will. There's something about when a youth comes close to his father and their hearts come together, there is a settledness that comes and a peace and a surrenderedness that nothing else does. Nothing else takes its place. You can try to send a youth off and get help somewhere and do all kinds of things. But there's something about a parent and a youth coming together that brings a rest and a security that nothing else does. Not only that, youth, if you do that, it is preparing you for your family that you're going to have, and it'll affect your ability to relate to your children. Youth, are you willing to this morning make a commitment to open your heart to your mom and dad and give your heart to your mom and dad? Are you willing to do that? And dads, moms, are you willing? Are you willing, moms and dads, are you willing to take your responsibility to stand at the gate? And the things that you have done, dads, dads, I know you've done things because I have. You know, we've done things, right, dads? We've done things. And there's a responsibility for us to humble ourselves and to confess and open ourselves and be totally transparent and whatever it takes for them to be able to open their hearts to us as mom and dad. Whatever it takes, we're open to hear, to try to change our approach.
and tried to learn the things that we're doing wrong. Moms and dads, are you willing to take your responsibility in connecting with your children and your youth in that way? My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. May God bless you.